Am I sure? He likes my shirt. I just want to say, thank God for this shirt. $3.
Yeah!
Exactly. Say it again.
JC Penny.
Amen. JC will always save you a penny, mate. So, I want to say this. You know, some of you don't know. I've traveled quite a bit, and I thank God for that. But only in America. Only in America. Can you buy lunch for $3, a shirt for $3, and earn $1,000 a week? So only country in the world. I challenge you to show me another country. I challenge you. Not Canada, not Australia, not South Africa, nowhere in Europe. When my son bought a house when he was in the Marine Corps, a corporal in the Marines, bought his first house at 19 years old, on a military patent, 19 years old, I'll say it again, only in America can you do that. So don't ever forget the greatness of our nation, the favor that God has given us in this country. Don't ever forget that. That's why we're building a strong church. We're building a strong church to build strong families and strong people to keep our nation strong. And that's it. Okay, I want to just talk about Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is a time when Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, didn't want to go back to one of the churches that he founded of Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was a great church. It was a mature church. It was an influential church in a great place. Have we got any Bibles under the seats for anybody, by the way? If anybody needs one, are there any under there? Hand them around. Anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand. Maybe behind you. I don't know if they want none, sir. Okay. Okay, so as I was saying, the church in Ephesus was a mature, but the trouble is Paul had been there before, and the last time he was there was a riot. So he wasn't really thrilled about going back. So he sailed into a nearby port and then put a demand upon the leaders of the church. He put a demand upon the mature of the church to meet him in a town called Miletus. And so I want you to see this. I want you to understand how we today think that it's such an effort to do anything for God. Now, in those days, they were willing to walk, I don't know how many miles, I think it was about 50 or 60 miles, just to meet with Paul. This wasn't just going to another conference. This was quite a determined effort to be able to get a hold of something that was going to strengthen them, mature them, and help further and advance the kingdom of God. So I want you to see that. And then Paul began to speak to them. He spoke to them about leadership, about eldership. And then he summed it up in this, David, chapter 20, verse 20. And this is what we call God's 2020 vision. God's 2020 vision. As you can see there, it says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you. Let's just wait for the children to come back in. Nobody told us about this situation. Let's read it again. Acts 20:20. This is God's perfect vision. Are you with me? How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I want us to see here how Paul was talking of the essential of the two advantages of communicating with the church. One of them was to speak publicly. You may remember, we'll go over the scriptures later, that the church in the early days, many people who were anti-church, can I say this? Being anti-church will never get anyone anywhere. My wife and I have been together now 32 years. And if you don't like my wife, you don't like me. It's as simple as that. If you don't like my wife, you and I are not going to flow. Because I love my wife more than anybody else on this planet, including my kids and my grandson, including anybody else. I love my wife more than anybody on this planet. And it's important for me, if we're going to relate, for you to relate to my wife. Does that make sense to everybody? Imagine going, I went out to dinner last night, had a wonderful time. I went out to dinner last night and to a couple in the church. And I did it because I wanted to, the husband and I, we've been getting together for lunch and we've been knitting together. But then I wanted to know, how do we flow as a couple, as two couples flowing together? And it was wonderful. It was wonderful that we began to learn about one another. And I want to say this, that anything in life, you need to communicate with the whole person. The whole person. The Bible says when the two get married, they become one flesh. And so it's important for this. And I want to say that because the church is Jesus's wife. And if you don't like his wife, I don't think you like him much. You get my drift? And a lot of people, they don't want to hear this because, oh, we don't need to go to church and everything else and everything else. True, you don't need to go to school. Now, I'm not talking about homeschooling. I'm talking about school, period. Are you telling me that anybody can raise themselves academically? That's impossible. You're going to need curriculum. You're going to need somebody who knows the curriculum and can impart the curriculum to you. Whether it's homeschool, private school, Christian school, public school, it doesn't matter. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. All through the kingdom of God, there's always been this situation where somebody is going to do the public speaking. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the maturing of the saints. It isn't because anyone's better than anyone. It's just that maybe that person's been walking around the block a few more times than you have and has found out a few things that may help you. You know, it's like any mentoring. I myself have taken on personally I'm calling him a management consultant, because whatever leadership qualities I do and don't have, and whatever knowledge of the Bible I do or don't have, my management skills are wanting. So therefore, I hope that I'm man enough to evaluate my lack and therefore go to somebody who has those skills more than me, put myself under that authority, and therefore grow. And I'd say there's only two situations in our lives. You're either growing or dying. I want to encourage you in this, because a lot of people think that there's some kind of neutral plateau that we are in. So there's no such thing. There's only two elements of life, biological or spiritual. You're either growing or you're dying. And so therefore, all of us, I'd encourage you, whatever need you have, find yourself a mentor. Find yourself somebody, and I say this to my wife's just walking out with my grandson because he's trying to talk to me. Now, bring him back a minute. I just want to look at him one more time. There he is. There's my firstborn grandson. And now, Benzie's not squeaking. Just stand there a minute. You know, in the back row there, we always have what I call our rookie mums. Forgive me, you know, they're all their mums with their firstborn babies, you know. And when they want advice, they ask each other. The expression in New York, I'm not sure who developed it. It was either the Jews or the Italians, but and they got this expression that sums it up. It's called "duh," and you see, because you know, you don't really, if you're a rookie mum, don't go and ask a rookie mum. Go and ask a mum who's already had five. Help me. What do I do with this baby? You know, not saying you mums aren't good mums. They're excellent mums, excellent, excellent mums, and I commend you and well done. But what I'm saying is, a mother who's had five children, raised five children, knows a little bit more about children than the mother who's having her first. And this is why leadership is so essential in every area of life. Are you staying, Grant, or are you going to take your grandmother upstairs? All right, so the reason why I'm saying that is, let's read it again. How I kept back nothing that was helpful. Some translations use the word profitable there. I want to encourage all of you, the knowledge of God's word is profitable. It is profitable in every area of your life, spirit, soul, body, whether it be in business, whether it be finance, whether it be health, whether it be all relationships, the word of God is profitable. But I proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So I now want to speak this morning about house to house. The Vineyard Church as a movement, we have somewhere in excess of 600 churches in America and a lot more than that around the world. And one of the values we hold very dear are home groups, house groups, kinships, cell groups, care groups, call them whatever you like, I don't care. But we meet in homes, we meet in people's houses. It's very biblical, it's very scriptural. I remember in the book of Romans, they talked about Priscilla and Aquila, greet them and the church in their house. But I want to say this, a church in a house is not complete in itself. Because a church in a home, a lot of people preach, oh, we just need to meet in the homes and nowhere else. No, because that way you will never be exposed to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Therefore, you will not mature. It's as simple as that. So the reality is we do need to meet in the home, because the home is the first place where we begin to grow and develop our care for one another. Our care for one another is so important as we begin to connect. Maybe we could jump right now over to Ephesians chapter 4. This is a very important element of the message here. Ephesians chapter 4, and I've got, it's on the 16. It's on the back reading program. You got a reading program there? Good, mate. It's talking about the body of Christ after the mention of the fivefold ministry, as it's commonly called. And then it talks about till we all come to the unity of the Spirit, until we all grow to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And then it talks about from the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Just want to mention about being joined. Mike, you've been doing some welding lately, am I correct? You know how to weld, don't you? Well, I used to be in working engineer, used to be a production engineer, and you sometimes see anything, even as up to, say, shipbuilding, is when they put these two huge plates together and then get this welding, and it's joined together. And that's great. But relationships can't be welded together. They have to be joined and knit together. They have to be knit together. Anybody have the misfortune of ever turning your ankle or... please. You've been doing it for a living. Stop it. God, mate. The worst injury I've ever had, I've injured every joint in my body through playing rugby, but the worst one was when I did my shoulder. It was so painful that, you know that old joke, it only hurts when I breathe? This only used to hurt when I used to breathe. And I just whimpered for 3 days, sitting up straight in bed. It was killing me. Because even though they joined the joint back together, it wasn't knit together. All the ligaments were torn. All the muscles were torn. So therefore, it was so painful, and it took a long time before my body would knit back together. You ever done that? Anybody ever? Hurt anything from a thumb to a knee to a... It has to knit. And the thing is with a lot of Christianity, especially in the Western world, is we don't really devote ourselves to knitting ourselves together. We come to church, we think we're now joined, but we need to knit. And I think that's very important for us to realize. Okay, why? Because there's... By what every joint supplies. I've said it before, again and again and again. My finger really loves my head. It scratches it, does all kinds of things, mind your own business. And so, you know, my finger and my head get on very well, but it's like if each and every one of us was a digit, we all receive our instructions from the head, but we're not joined to the head. And this is one thing we have to clear. I know it's obvious. I know this is Christianity 101. But the reality is my finger is not knitted to my head. It is knitted to my knuckle. So my finger's favorite joint is the one that it spends the most time with, where life is supplied through and returned. Are we okay here? And in fact, if you are not joined correctly to the body of Christ, then it isn't long before it begins to go numb. It goes a little numb, and in the end, of course, it could get gangrenous and will have to be lopped off. So this is why it's essential to knit yourself to the body, not just, you know, whatever other lingo you may want to term. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 40. Now, before we go any further, let me just say this. We are moving, hopefully, within 2 months to another building. The building's about 10,500 square feet, as I've already mentioned. We're paying $567,000 for it. And It needs a lot of work. It's an old building, but it needs a lot of work, and it's going to suit us just fine because we're good at fixing things up. But the reality is when we move there, I don't just want to, like, put the chairs in a truck and move. I want to take the opportunity to be able to launch something new when we move. One of my mentors, his name is Nelson Searcy. He's got a church down in New York City. He is a disciple, I've mentioned him before, of Rick Warren. And he has just written a book called Launch. Instead of just planting a church, launch the church. Make an impact. Make a noise about it. Make a decision. Hey, guys, we're moving. You need to be there because we're pretty cool people. And so, amen. Thank you. No wonder you're not sitting with him, Joe. Maybe you should sit with him, be the catalyst. And so that's what we believe the Lord has shown us to do, is actually launch into the new building, launch into something new, so that we want to be, our vision statement is to build a community of compassion and character. So therefore, the compassion covers the needs of people. We want to be a people where the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, that we do love people, we do care for people, we want to be able to help them, we want to be able to pray for them if they're sick. There was a testimony this morning, a guy's only been coming to the church a few weeks, Ken, if you know him, had a lot of, you know, unfortunate things go on in his life, but he just said this week, a woman was all upset because it's nearly St. Patrick's Day, and I suppose that's enough reason on its own, I guess, but... No, but she lost a loved one at St. Patrick's Day, so therefore it's a very tough time. You know, when you lose somebody, that anniversary of it hurts, you know. And he said, well, so I decided just to pray for her. And as he prayed for her, he said, she just changed, just flourished, just blossomed and came out of that downcast, depressed state. Because this guy who's only known the Lord a few months, Pat, you led him to the Lord at the Mission Mills, is already praying for people and caring for people, and that compassion is touching people's hearts. You just heard the testimony of Zach, where when they were down there in Zambia, they went down there as a work party, but what did they do? They went to the hospital and they prayed for people, and the people got healed. You see, compassion takes care of everything. The Bible says Jesus was moved by compassion. He had that desire to help people. I don't care how... what's the word? I don't say how you may see yourself as being lack of gifting or a lack of talent or lack of knowledge. You are more than able to help the people of this community because the Bible says every joint supplies. I don't care how useless you think you are. I don't think you are. And God doesn't think you are. So we need to move forward on that reality. So part of that is we want to launch into something. Now, I'm saying that because Acts chapter 2 started, you may remember, the book of Acts starts with creeping Christianity. Forgive me for some of my terminology if you're new to this church. Creeping Christianity is like, I don't know, it was never designed that way. It was never designed, you know, when Jesus hit the ground running, if you like, you know, he was quiet for 30 years and then suddenly he went, boom, you know, the Holy Spirit zapped the guy. And there he was, off and running, right? In the desert, out the desert, and off he was going, preaching the kingdom of God, laying hands on people, boom. And so that's the way he was. And what's he doing? Walking down Galilee and Peter and James and John and Andrew. Hey, guys, follow me. Oh, okay, boom. You know, leave the nets. Let's go. You know, it was Matthew, leave the money changers' tables and all that. There was some kind of... A change in the way they think from natural thinking, carnal thinking, to bam, this guy's right, let's go for it. And those kind of impact in reality, it's the way God thinks. Look at Elijah. He's walking, mind you, if you don't know the story, Elijah and Elisha, who was going to be his apprentice, he was just plowing away one day with his plow, and Elijah came along and put a mantle on him, which is a type of anointing. It's like a kind of a presence of God put him on him, and bam, he burnt his plow, burnt his ox, and said, I'm with you. And this happens many, many times, this breakthrough understanding. Now, it doesn't mean to say everybody's got to quit their jobs and everything. That's not what I'm saying. But the reality is there's something, if that something inside of you goes, yes, I want that. I want what God's got for me. His kingdom is better than the kingdom I'm living in. And I want it. I want to be translated into that reality. Now, the reason why I believe that so much is Jesus appeared to 500 people after the resurrection. And they saw the hole in his hand, because he couldn't have hid it, obviously. So therefore, these 500 people in the book of Corinthians appeared to Jesus, yet only 120 managed to hang around long enough on the day of Pentecost. I'm not sure what happened to the other 380. They kind of lost interest along the way somewhere. So anyway, the 120 were there, all the apostles, and Jesus' mother was there, Mary. And then suddenly there was a rushing mighty wind. Now, I want to say this because I want to... it's MySpace, bud. MySpace? Never mind. And I want to say this. I don't want any radical Pentecostalism in this house. We are not a church that we think that squealing and screaming is a sign of the Holy Spirit. I've seen those things when it's been the Holy Spirit, but it's mainly and often emotionalism. So I want us to understand, now, if those of you that were here a couple of weeks ago when I preached on David Dunn's Before the Lord Till His Clothes Comes Off, that I believe in. But I want to say this, is the Holy Spirit brings craziness. Craziness does not bring the Holy Spirit. Did anybody hear that? In other words, you sucking up the... Gotcha. You sucking the dust out of the carpet does not bring the presence of God. Sorry if you don't understand that expression. Maybe I've been in too many holy roller meetings where we want to be a people who are so confident about the promise of God and that you're included that we can come boldly into the throne of grace. We need to be the kind of people that can say, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we have the petition that we have asked of Him. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about approaching a God that you don't have to do any of the emotionalism to get His attention. You realize you have His constant attention because His love for you never changes. I don't care what you do, it will never change your approach to come to the throne of grace. I don't care how much you've sinned, how broken you may be, how devastated you may be in your understanding, my God, through faith in Jesus Christ, is gladly welcoming each and every one of you into His arms, into His presence, and you can come any way you are. Because that's who He is. That's who He is. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? They're all sitting there, I want to say this, in one accord. They were sitting there in agreement. We will have a house that moves together in one step. We're not looking for a house that's going to have a multitude of opinions. We need to get our opinions together, brainstorm, make a decision, make a plan, and stick to the plan. And I want to encourage you, each and every one of you, is sometimes it's very difficult with, if anyone has a myopic approach to life. We were talking about this last night. Does everybody know the story of the spies that went into Israel in the book of Numbers? I believe it was chapter 13. Moses sent a dozen guys in there, said, just go suss it out and come back and give us a... So they came back, and there were 12 of them. And Joshua and Caleb, two of the guys, went, oh, man. Ha! There are giants in there. There's all kinds of strong cities. But we are more than able. Let's go up and take it. And the other 10 went, oh, my. Everywhere I went, I couldn't find my tail. And they had this approach that when they went in there, they just couldn't. They said, and we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. So how myopic were they? How were they looking at themselves as being so useless and so incapable and so small in the eyes of the challenges of life? And I want to tell you something. If you're breathing, you're going to get challenges. If your theology is, oh, don't worry, you'll be happy. Yeah, right. You may know joy every day of your life, but don't tell me you're going to be happy every day of your life. Happy is the result of happenings. Joy is a result of a strong foundational relationship with Jesus Christ. So here we have, though in one accord, in one place, when suddenly, boom, the Holy Spirit came. And bam, everybody got it. Everybody. It wasn't 118, but you two. Nah, not you two. Huh? It wasn't just the guys, or the mature guys, or the handsome guys. I'm trying to find an example. Like it. So he knows everybody's beautiful in the kingdom, so he's right. So the reality is that the whole place was filled with the Spirit. Everybody got the Holy Spirit. And this is very important for us to understand. It's mine by inheritance. Because of Jesus Christ, I can have it. Bam. End of conversation. Then what happened is Peter, you see, that voice I preached to you publicly and from house to house. God is not asking everybody to be a Peter, everybody to be a Paul. So what happened is Peter stood up and said, boom, men and brethren, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but et cetera, et cetera. Preached, and 3,000 people got born again. Now I'm saying that because the reality is God launched the church. He didn't creep in. As I said before, there were 500 people, met Jesus Christ after the resurrection, saw the hole in his hand, yet didn't hang around for 40 days until the day of Pentecost. 10 days, wasn't it? 10 days until the day of Pentecost. So, okay, this is a very important reality in my heart, is to know you are all included to do the stuff for Jesus. You are all included in the promise of the Holy Spirit. And each and every one of you, we need you to supply the provision, the life of God. The life of God is exactly the same in you as it was in Paul the Apostle. The life of God is exactly the same in you as it was is in Billy Graham. The life of God is exactly the same in you as it was in Jesus Christ. You have his DNA. And I want you all to remember that. Okay, so let's try and wrap this up about as soon as I can. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 40. And with many other words he testified. This is Peter. The church has just been launched. Be saved from this perverse generation. If anybody wants to help me with this launch, because we're looking to do advertising. We're looking to do really connecting with the community. I've never done it before. I'm not good at it. It's not my expertise. I don't know how to do it. We want to do it through media. We want to do it through radio. We want to do it through billboards, if needs be. We want to do it through some kind of artwork where we can connect with it, door hangers, whatever it takes, because we want the community to know we're here. We want them to know. I think we're one of the best kept secrets in town. I do. And so I want the secret to get out. I want us to be contagious. I want us to infect people. I really do. I want us more than just mosquito bites on Zach's elbow. Shouldn't have asked him where they bit him. So that's what I really do. So if there's anybody here with those kind of talents, please let me know. In fact, whatever you want to do for God, let me know. Let me know what you honestly believe you can do and you want to do. Let me know. Send me an email. I promise you I'll read it. You'll only get a one-line answer, but I promise I'll read it. I want you to see the joy that comes from working hard for Jesus. I just witnessed Joan close her eyes and nod her head because she is a classic example of somebody who made a mouse look noisy when I came to this church. She made a mouse look bold. And yet now she runs mission meals. And when she goes there, I walked in the other last Wednesday when I said, Joan, you haven't got any help. She said, what is there to do? Oh, well, just done it, you know. She goes there every single month and serves the people of this community that are less privileged than us. And she does it with such class, such anointing. She sits down and talks to every one of them like she's their favorite aunt. And I'm so thankful for that reality. Well done, John. In many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Next. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and a day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Yes? Yeah. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See, that's what I'm talking about. The voice, if you like, the pulpit voice, and fellowship in the breaking of bread and prayers. Go. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done. Go ahead. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Forget about that. We don't live in China. And sold their possessions. Forget that. We don't live in China either. So continuing daily. Zach's laughing at me. He's just been at Zambia. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food in gladness, simplicity of heart. So the same as Acts 20, Paul withheld nothing publicly and from house to house. Here, the temple and from house to house. There were no churches, no church buildings. They didn't meet in the synagogues because they wouldn't let them preach Jesus in the synagogues. So they met in the temple. There were Solomon's porch and all those places in the public areas is where they met to preach Jesus Christ and then from house to house. Okay, next. Is that the end of the text? One more. Praising God and have favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Okay, give me 8 minutes to just tell you what we're going to do with the home groups. We're going to start the home groups soon, and what I'm going to ask you to do, and I need your cooperation, please, with this. I really believe we'll all benefit by being part of a home group, because you meet people, you knit together with them. It's a place where people care for you, pray for you, help you in a time of need. There's nothing like a home group for being able to really feel knit with the body of Christ. And if you feel you'd like to host one or lead one or coordinate one, it's any one of those things, please let me know. And what we're going to do, we'll start them sometime in April. We're meeting this Wednesday to get a plan. And I'm just asking for us to do it for 3 months. And we're going to do it geographically this time. In other words, you know, if you're from the Catskill area, you're going to meet those who are geographically in that area, or those down in the New Paltz area or Red Hook or wherever you are. And going to, now, I know many of you say, oh, I want you to go and be in a home group with so-and-so, my best friend. That's not the point of this. The point of this is not for you to just go with your best friend. You know your best friend. You already knit in your heart with your best friend. This is a way for you to begin to learn how to knit together with the body of Christ and to develop that. Okay, four principles. This book has been put out by the Vineyard Church, of which we're part of. It says upward, inward, outward, and forward. Upward, inward, outward, and forward. So the first one, which will be preached next week, Rich and Diane Caliendo, who came to the conference with us on this subject, are going to do this next week in my absence. And talking about upward, how each and every one of us, how to develop our upward connection. To develop it through the word, through prayer, through a stronger revelation of Jesus Christ. How we all need that upward connection, because the purpose of upward is to connect with God. And then there's the inward. The purpose is to connect with the body of Christ. And how important it is for us to have. How many of you know what it's like that when you've got a problem, the best thing to do is get in contact with your home group. Because your home group cares for you. They love you. They know that they know your kids. They know the way you feel. They know so much about you. It gives you an opportunity to share. The Bible says when you come together, each of you have a psalm, a hymn, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation. Let it all be done unto edifying. We can't do that Sunday morning. We can't do that Sunday morning. And as we move into one building and go to one service and there are more and more people, that's impossible. That's what the home groups are for. Is for you to be able to bring what you have. Every one of us has something in God. Hallelujah. And it's a precious thing, and we need to bring it forth in these home groups. So upward, connect stronger to God. Inward, connect with the body. Outward, connect with the unchurched. This is one thing that's very difficult for many of us, myself included. I can talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. It doesn't intimidate me one bit. You could drop me in a lawyer's convention, I'd feel at home, or NASA, or it wouldn't bother me who the heck they think they are, praise God, because I know God. But anyway, really, I'm only saying that, I'd encourage all of you to begin to meditate on that. Don't be impressed with people in this world. Don't be impressed with who they are and what they've done and how many pips are on their shoulder.
Be impressed with the fact that you know God, hallelujah, that Jesus is your buddy. I mean, hello. Right. Take that to the Oscars. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see any worst dressed this year. It was all best dressed. Were there any worst dressed this year? Who was? Oh, it was Nicholson. Nobody saw that part? Shaved head in the shade. He looked dumb as dishwater, didn't he? But anyway. You didn't see that?
I did.
Gross. That's a better word. Yeah. So anyway. Praise God. I want to say that because I remember once, let me just say this quickly, I've only got 4 more minutes. I once was in a meeting, it was a youth meeting, and every single kid there was from the Bronx or Yonkers, to give you an idea what the crowd was like. Every one of them was from the Bronx or Yonkers. And this one kid was giving me a hard time. Should I be telling this story? Oh, I've already started it now. And he came right up to me like this. And he said, "Who do you think you are?" And I knew he was going to nut me. You know that? Headbutcher? Anybody know that look? I got saved when I was 29. I know that look. And I knew that I was in trouble in that sense. And I stood there and said, "I know who I am." And he backed right off. He backed right off because I know who I am. And I am looking forward to when we all know who we are. So when anybody gets in your face and tries to intimidate you, you can say, "I know who I am. I know who I am." And you don't have to back down because you have this upward relationship with God, an inward confidence among the body of Christ. And you also have an outward confidence when it comes to just talking to anybody anywhere. But I must admit, I find it sometimes hard to turn the subject to Jesus. I was buying a bike a few weeks ago, I don't know if I told you this, I was over there in, you girls have got to get out and nail these guys. You know one of them, used to play rugby with him. These guys, he's got a great broken tooth now. Have you seen him since? He looks, what's the word? Gross. So I said to these young guys, I'm buying a bike, right? You know, so I'm buying a bike, and so I thought, okay, how do we do the Jesus thing here? You know, have you ever liked that? Okay, how do we creep the subject around to Jesus? Bicycle, Jesus. If I was buying a tandem, I could have gone there, but... So I thought, okay, here we go. So where do you guys go to church? You know, I didn't know what to do, so I launched into it, but I got that kind of boldness, I guess. But I want to encourage you, connecting to the unchurched is one of the most rewarding things you will ever do in your life. Some good asking you, Pat. Did I ask your opinion? But you should ask Pat because he's right. He is very, very good at it. And the last thing is forward. So upward to connect with God, inward to connect with the body, outward to connect with the unchurched. And I'll be honest with you, forward helps you connect with the purpose and vision of God as no other thing can in your life. The minute you stop growing, you start dying. The minute you are not determined to become a citizen of change, that is our definition of young in this church. You stay young by being a citizen of change. I told you a story before, my mother here, the other from England, 91 years old, sitting in the front row making notes of her own son preaching because she's a citizen of change. That's why she's 91 years young. She's not satisfied with where she is. So that doesn't come from the upward, inward, outward, but the forward. Keep growing, keep moving forward. Do you know why relationships and marriages go stale? You either grow together or grow apart. Did you hear that? You either grow together or grow apart. It's the same in the church. I've had relationships with people in this church, and we're growing together, and some people aren't growing, so we're growing apart. That's not my fault. The reality is if you don't keep moving forward, what's God saying? What's God doing? What's happening now? Is there something that I need to be listening to, tapping into? Am I still eating yesterday's manna? Or am I going to start moving forward? I know that some of my great heroes, you've got to love guys like Patton and people like Chesty Puller. If you've ever heard of Chesty Puller, they say the greatest Marine that ever lived. more medals and decoration than any man who's ever been in the American military. And their idea of defense was just attack. Okay, we can't get through there, so let's attack somewhere else. You know, it was always moving forward. It was always going forward. And the great people of this world, they think that way. Because keep moving forward. Paul the Apostle is out there advancing the kingdom. And God said by the Holy Spirit, don't go to Asia. He said, okay. And he went somewhere else. He didn't withdraw and say, oh man, I must have done something wrong now. What did I do wrong? No, he kept advancing the kingdom. And there's no better way to be connected with the purpose of God in your spirit than keep moving forward. So that's what the purpose of the home group's going to be. And this book will be upward, inward, outward and forward. Upward to connect with God. Inward to connect with the body. Outward to connect with the unchurched. And forward to connect with the purposes of God. So I really want to encourage each and every one of you. I thank God for each and every one of you. Just to close on a couple of thoughts, the things we're going to be doing in the new church is that we will be building four teams, ministry teams, so that there will be a different couple leading a ministry team each Sunday morning to pray for people's needs. They'll be praying in the morning for me, for the house, for the meetings, for the musicians, for the lost. We'll be praying then they'll be ministering to people afterwards. That will be a different team each week. One Sunday a month, we will be having more worship after the meeting. So therefore, when we finish, we're going to bring the band back up. We're going to cut loose a little bit. We do want to build the fellowship hall as a cafe. We want to put Starbucks out of business. And oh, we better not, because then we put a couple of girls out of work here. But four of them, actually. But imagine having four baristas all in a row. Look at that. And we like our coffee. As you might look on our website, you'll see we have a serious message, a casual approach, good coffee. Now that to me is a good church. Hallelujah. So I want to thank God for each and every one of you. I'm excited about the future. It's keeping me young, me strong, and I hope it's going to do the same for each and every one of you. Father, I want to thank you for each and every one of the people sitting here in Jesus' name. I just thank you that all of our lives are better because of all of the people here. All of our lives are better because of all of the people here. And today, Lord, I just want to take a moment to pray for anybody here who feels disconnected. Whether they feel disconnected to you, disconnected to the body, disconnected family and friends, their own children. Father, we want to bless you today, Lord. So if anybody needs prayer this morning, why don't you just come forward and I'll take a moment. If you need to go, we want to thank God for each and every one of you. You're welcome to join us upstairs for coffee and bagels and refreshments. We want to be a house of hospitality, and we want to thank God for each and every one of you.